Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers.
Good morning, New York guys. Looks nice right there.
Yeah. It's summertime, baby. So it looks like in the summertime.
You know, in the Bay Area, we were talking about Kyrie a lot this morning and the Golden State Warriors. That the Bay Area, that thing, that look that Key is looking out at, the Brooklyn Bridge and that river. Nice. The Bay Area is because it's like five times as wide. Anytime you see a river and the bridge going over it, sun dappled on the water. Yeah.
It's cool today.
That's not L.A. L.A. is a different look.
No, I'm saying today that looks good. Tomorrow it'll be raining and it'll just be a whole deal.
It's supposed to rain later today.
Is it real?
Today? I think tonight.
Oh.
I think tonight, yeah. Oh. Tonight. You don't have to wait.
Oh, God. Get it in while you can, I guess.
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Max Kellerman?
Yes, Max Kellerman. Kyrie. Kyrie. Is he still going to be a Brooklyn Net when the season starts? Here is Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider on the 6 o'clock Sports Center on the ramifications of this whole situation.
They both need each other. That's the ramifications when you look at Kyrie with his $36.5 million player option. Who is out there to go out and sign him? Is it going to be Portland, Orlando, Indiana, San Antonio? Those aren't very attractive situations. So there's not much leverage from Irving's situation. On the other end, what's it for Brooklyn? You let him go. Let's say he goes to the Lakers for the mid-level exception. Let's say he wants to take a $26 million discount. Well, who's going to replace him? Now you're left with Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons and your mid-level exception at $10.3 million. So they need each other to get a deal done, either in the offseason if Irving opts out or if he opts into his contract.
Thank you, Bobby, for talking some damn sense. Like, everybody yesterday was blowing up about all this report that came out and he could potentially go to the Knicks. I'm like, well, the Knicks don't even have cap space for him. Same with the Lakers. Like, how are they going to make that work? And then, by the way, if you're Brooklyn, why the hell are you letting this guy go? This is a negotiation tactic for Kyrie to get exactly what he wants, and that is his money. He wants to get his money. There's a reason why yesterday, when all this stuff started to come out, Kyrie Irving tweeted a gif of Brother Muzain from The Wire, right? Where literally
Brother Muzain.
Muzain, yes. Yeah. Muzain, Muzain.
Because the first time I heard it, I said, Muzain? What's Muzain? He talking about? Oh, Muzain, yeah.
And he talks about reform. He's looking at dilapidated buildings.
Reform.
And he says, reform.
What's his name?
Reform.
He had a sidekick. What was his name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, reform. And what is it? So-and-so. Yeah.
Yates, who is it? You know Yates? Yates might be able to chime in, but
because he put his name on the end.
All I'm saying to you at this moment is that Kyrie Irving is staying in Brooklyn. He's not going anywhere. And if you're the Brooklyn Nets, your back is against the wall. You have maybe the potential best player in the game in Kevin Durant, whose partner in crime is Kyrie. The demand on the market isn't the same because they're not sure what they're going to get. And these two together with Ben Simmons give you the best chance to win a championship.
You know what's crazy, too, when you think about the Nets? You know how, like, Klay came back from 900-something days off, and we're all, many of us are expecting next year to be better because usually that first year back, you're not 100% or as good as you're going to be. You need that under your belt, get your body together, and then the following year, guys, KD had a ruptured Achilles. Who is to say that physically he won't be better next season, more distance from the injury, NBA games under his belt? To me, when he's healthy, KD is still the best player in basketball. I would still rather have him than anybody else. And Kyrie, too. Kyrie is maybe the most skillful player in basketball. Those two together, for all the problems that there's been so far, you still look at them and you go, show me two guys better.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets are up against it, though. They're up against it because Kyrie wants his money. But if you're saying the availability is an issue for me to give you the full value of your money because I still have reservation as an organization on whether or not you're going to be there for us all the time,
it makes a person look at other places. Now, Jay, you know Kyrie. I don't know him, but I could certainly ask you this question, though. The relationship between him and LeBron James seems to be better than it was several years ago. If we remember, Kyrie came out several months ago and talked about their relationship. It talked about how he was immature when he was in Cleveland with them. So to me, that tells me he's eyeing something. And I understand when you get into Bobby Marks and the cap and this and can they do this and how they going to trade in the contract, mid-level.
He's a big believer, and you'll figure that out. Figure out the details.
They'll figure all that out. Yeah. Didn't Golden State figure out what to do with Wiggins and later on and figure out what to do with Clay? They'll figure it
out.
Where
there's a will. Yeah.
There's a way, there's a will. Can and will he be willing to sit down and have a conversation with Mr. James and his representatives and the Lakers if, in fact, he's eyeing that so LeBron could sell him on getting back together? Because one
that's
of the things
one.
That
the
I
one
would be
that
doing,
I look at is the Lakers. That's the only one.
Look at this, though. Yeah. You ain't won nothing without me. I ain't won nothing really without you. I love you. I was trying to teach you. I'm begging you to come play with me.
But I had
to learn, too.
Yeah.
Plus, L.A. is nice. Spring Hill, man, you know you want to be in the business of movies. I could get you there. We can get you there. Me coming to L.A., man, my empire, I'm a billionaire now. I came to L.A., and it just took me to a whole nother level. I'm just selling you, Jay. All I'm doing is trying to sell you.
Know what I think, Jay? I think, just real quick,
sure.
Shaq, when you hear Shaq and Penny talk, they both recognize, damn, we were just young and immature. We wish that. When you hear Shaq and you heard Kobe talk, same thing, they should have accomplished more. LeBron and Kyrie is kind of like that, but who says they still can't accomplish more? It's not over yet.
I love the sales pitch, Key. Two reasons why it would never happen.
He ain't buying it.
Here's number one. The only person that would have been able to get Kyrie Irving to the Lakers would have been Kobe Bryant. You can mark that down. Kobe Bryant would have been able to get this done.
Who still says he can't?
What?
Well, look, Kyrie, you are, if to inherit the legacy of Kobe, LeBron is older. It's not going to be AD. Come and be the next Kobe in L.A.
Absolutely.
Because Kyrie Irving has never been second fiddle to anybody. He would be second fiddle to LeBron James in L.A. I'm just telling you.
I think there was a lot of stuff
for Kyrie Irving to learn, and I'm glad he opened up about what that relationship means. But let's also not forget that it was the way that Bron spoke about Kai as the kid, right? That Kai wanted to be his own man. So I don't see Kyrie being third fiddle to LeBron James or AD in L.A. I don't see it happening.
But the pitch, if I'm LeBron, is Kai. Your first fiddle, if not this year, next. I'm going to look at 40 pretty soon. You got this whole thing in front of you. So,
and secondly, my second point.
Jada want this to happen.
He and me are really trying to make this happen.
If that's what he chooses to do, I'm telling you reasons why I don't think it would happen. Uh-huh. Number two, we've had debates for a long time. And what's your thing always been about KD? Like, why does he hear everything? He's always on the internet. He's always hearing stuff. Like, it gets Key angry about it, right? So one of the things that KD has been hearing for long, who is the best player in the game? Is that LeBron James? Is that KD? You put them against each other. Think about this. They're a brotherhood. You're telling me Kyrie Irving would leave his brother, the dude that, through all the stuff that's happened this year, KD has had his back.
For sure.
Yeah. To the dude on the West Coast that people have been comparing about who's greater to of all time, like, they're thicker than thieves. They're brothers, man. Like, they're in the trenches together.
Okay, here's a question.
That would be the biggest knife in the back to Kevin Durant than ever before anybody who's ever been around.
I don't think KD would do that to Kyrie. Do you think Kyrie reciprocates that kind of love to KD and loyalty to KD on the level KD has it?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Then it wouldn't
happen. I think when it all comes down to it, I think they are locked. They are intertwined together.
Okay. I mean, you know, Jay, because you know them both. You dialed in with them like that. I'm just saying, sometimes
I hear you.
Distance makes things a whole lot better in the end. We separated. I went to Boston and I went to the Nets. It didn't work out. I thought we were going to do it.
But I came here because you're a big reason why I came here. You're a big reason I came here.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're not done with this. A former Ravens quarterback tells exactly what is going on with Lamar Jackson and the team next. ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
He's sending mixed messages about whether he would play week one or not.
I just wanted to stay away and just grind. You know, just want to come back and just see how I felt. I asked my guys how they feel if I stay home. They was like, you know, it's cool. You know, I want to get some chemistry. They'll tell me I want to get some chemistry. I'm like, man, we're going to get that regardless when we get back.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This situation could be Dak Prescott on steroids. Remember we talked about Dak's contract for like 2 years? Well, this could drag out. I don't think it's a slam dunk that they're going to get something done.
I don't see why he would take less. As long as he's willing to push this thing out, there's no reason why you should give them any sort of discount.
He's a baller. He wants to go out there and play regardless. But, you know, this could get tricky over the next few months.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, Robert Griffin III. RG3, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Max? Keyshawn, J. Will, how y'all doing?
What up, baby?
Doing good.
A little disappointed, though, at you right now, RG3.
What's up?
Because he doesn't have his $10 million art piece behind him.
Oh, yeah. He's usually in the museum.
Hey, I'm at mom's house. You know, I'm in Texas right now, so I had to switch it up a little bit. Can't always have the art piece behind me, but I got the angels, right? You know, true black family angels. We ready to roll.
Yeah. You like got that. The more traditional stuff in the background. Usually it's very modern. Skinny Christmas trees with little white pines coming out. Modern
Basquiat.
Art behind them. Yeah.
Basquiat in the background.
Basquiat, no
yeah,
doubt.
You know what I mean?
Now, this is mom's house. It's more traditional, but still very tasteful. All right. Hey, RG3, take a listen to what Jeremy Fowler said yesterday about the significance of the whole Lamar Jackson situation. Jeremy Fowler, here we go.
This situation could be Dak Prescott on steroids. Remember we talked about Dak's contract for like 2 years? Well, this could drag out. I don't think it's a slam dunk that they're going to get something done. And he's sending mixed messages about whether he would play week one or not. I think ultimately he's a baller. He wants to go out there and play regardless. But, you know, this could get tricky over the next few months.
Robert, you played with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. When you look at the situation with his contract, and you were also a quarterback who could kill you with his legs, what do you think is the biggest issue at play between Lamar and the Ravens right now?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to Jeremy Fowler, guys, and I'm thinking to myself, what mixed messages has Lamar sent, right? He didn't show up for off-season workouts, but he said he just wanted to go out and grind on his own, right? He might want to spend some time with his kid, you know, as a new father. So I don't understand where the miscommunication is or the mixed signals are, but the bottom line is Lamar's going to do what he wants to do, and he plays the game different, and he's also handling the financial side, the business side of the NFL different as well, and people got to respect that. So I feel like he's really not giving off mixed messages. He showed up to the mandatory minicamp. He worked out. The team had a major lift when he got there. He played well. And, you know, if he gets a new contract, he does. If he doesn't, you know, people need to respect his decision to go out there and continue to raise his number.
I think you know what it is. I think the mixed messages, and so does, maybe that's not the right word, is when Lamar said the other day at the press conference, RG, that he wasn't sure what he was going to do. So he kind of left it open-ended for all of us to make our own assumption on what that meant. And I think that that's probably what has happened here. I don't know. I mean, sign the contract, give me 230 and some change, fully guaranteed it. I'm good.
Maybe at the end of 230, though.
Yeah, I think you're right, Keyshawn. The way that he's approaching it is unorthodox, and he's not sure what he's going to do. But, you know, after talking to him, I think it's more so not sure if he wants to negotiate a new contract right now, whether or not he wants to just play out the year and try to go win a Super Bowl. But I can tell you how they can make it real easy for him. Give him 60 a year, right? 600 mil over 10 years. I promise you he'll sign that contract.
Tell him, RG.
Right, so it is about money. It's not really about the money. Uh-huh, let me just give you a few numbers. It's about money, guys.
I'm just saying, if you want him to sign and you don't want this to be a problem, give him an offer he can't deny.
No one's
making that right now. It'll be a crazy offer, and he would probably sign that.
RG3, I think you're exactly right. Let me ask you this, though. if the Ravens hold their ground and they don't give him the money that he wants, if you're Lamar Jackson, would you play another year? Even you're going to get paid an absurd amount of money on the back end of your contract, but would you play another year and gamble that?
You know, Jay, well, I would, because I think Lamar, this is a win-win situation for him. You look at Dak, and when Dak got hurt, the Cowboys fell apart. Right? That's why they paid Dak. It didn't matter that he was coming off injury. They knew they needed him. Well, if you look at last year when Lamar got hurt, the Ravens fell apart. And yes, you know, Tyler Huntley came in and played admirably, but he wasn't Lamar Jackson. And the bottom line is that the Ravens need Lamar, and whether they pay him or not, he's going to get paid by someone. So I think he's just exercising his leverage right now. I think we should praise that. And I think the thing that's driving people crazy is they're not getting enough information from him. And because he's his own agent and his mom works in that department and he has other people in his corner, we're not getting the traditional information that the insiders are used to getting from agents. So It's just throw stuff at the wall and figure out what sticks. But for Lamar, he's just focusing on playing right now, and I think we got to respect that.
Yeah, he's going to get his money, because I seen the Ravens with him and I seen the Ravens without him. Speaking of another Heisman Trophy winner, RG, how does this Kyler Murray thing end? Does he get his money?
Yeah, I think Kyler gets his money, guys. At the end of the day, Keyshawn, you know this. Jay, well, you know this. And Max, I'm sure you know it as well. It's not about whether you're the best guy at your position or, you know, top five, top ten. What matters is if you're the best guy available. And Kyler's the best guy available for the Arizona Cardinals. They're better with him than they are without him, and they don't have another option unless you want to, you know, go to Colt McCoy. But Kyler has the leverage. I think he gets paid before the season. I think that they have calmed down the bitterness in the social media stuff and the inside sources. So I'm happy for him in that regard. And I think he ends up getting his money and getting paid before the season starts.
RG3, let me ask you something, man. How long did you play quarterback in the National Football League?
8 years.
So you played 8 years in the National Football League. At any time throughout your career in the National Football League, I know, did you ever – check out of a play and into a favorable play for your offense and get out of a bad play at any time in your career?
Yes, Keyshawn, I did.
Okay. Max, you want to tee this up?
This is unbelievable. Wait a minute. That is the domain of Peyton Manning. Did you get Peyton's permission before you checked out of the play and into a better play?
Listen, guys, I've gotten to the point where I've actually checked out of a play that the coach wanted us to run because I knew there was a better play, and we got like a 40-yard gain. He just gave me a death stare on the sideline. Coach was so mad.
How dare you be a coach on the on the field of play? Here's what Bart Scott said on his show, Bart and Hahn, on Brady and Peyton Manning. Listen to this, RG.
I'd much rather go against Tom Brady every day of the week than to go against Peyton Manning.
That's how you feel.
I believe that's how everybody feels.
Interesting. I like that.
Like, you don't fear Tom Brady. Peyton Manning gives you a total sense, a different set of anxiety. Like, you have anxiety. Like, you sleep at night like, damn. With Tom Brady, it was more about Bill Belichick, the entire team, the execution, like, them having a game plan.
So, Robert, we're talking about it on the show, and when Key's like, look, at a certain level, they're all the same. They all check out of bad plays. They're all, you know, at that level, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, they're all the same. Where are you on this whole subject, RG3?
Yeah, man, I just look at this or listen to it, and I know that Bart has nightmares about Peyton Manning, so that's kind of creepy. But at the end of the day, all the quarterbacks are the same, right? Tom's he's the GOAT. He's got the most rings. He's done it for the longest period of time. He checks in and out of plays. I'm pretty sure from what I've heard, he runs most of those meetings. But, guys, I can tell you right now, my 8 years in the league, 5 of those years, I was running the meetings when I was the quarterback for the teams that I was starting for. So sometimes we build the legend of these players, like they study from 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. or midnight, and that's just not the reality of it. But look, all these guys work hard. Some guys have had better situations than the others, and Tom Brady's the GOAT. So, I mean, if I'm a defender, I'm not trying to play against Tom Brady because he's got 7 rings.
Well, RG3, okay?
Peyton Manning, a certain extent, you know, great player, 2 rings, but at the end of the day, Brady's the GOAT. So why would you ever choose to play against Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning? Real question is, would you rather play against Tom Brady or Lamar Jackson? No, in that case, you might pick Tom Brady because you don't want to get embarrassed by
RG. Like, there are certain aspects, like, it's like saying you can never compare anybody to Michael Jordan, right? And I've never been a quarterback in the National Football League, you have, but I can compare certain attributes of things that Jordan couldn't do as well to other players. Not saying the players are comparable, but you can't just sit up here and say that every quarterback is the same. And I know that there's a lot of building around, like, the nostalgia around players, but aren't there levels to it? Like there are levels, like Steve Nash is great at probing, but he can read defenses as they develop. Whereas Jason Kidd was way better because he saw defenses before they were even established, right? Like, that's the way I see it. Can it be the same?
Just because all quarterbacks check out of plays doesn't mean they're all as good at each other at checking out of plays. What do you think, RG?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
Correct. Yeah, correct, Jay. Well, you're right, 100%. You know, maybe I let that come out the wrong way. Not every QB is exactly the same, but I can promise you right now, of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL next year, every single one of them is going to check out of a play. Every single one is going to get him into a better play in the running game or check to a screen or check to a pass play. So, yeah, some are better at it than others. Some are better at dropping back and reading the coverage and going through the process, responding to adversity, right? If they throw a pick, coming back and not being afraid to continue to pull the trigger, all those things come into play. And yes, you're not going to compare Tom Brady to Drew Lock in Seattle. Okay, they're just different players, different level. So I understand what you're saying.
But at that level, you're with Key. At the level of Brady and Peyton, you're with Key, like saying they're virtually interchangeable in terms of they're both really tough to play against. Yeah, is that what we're talking about here?
No, I'm just laughing because I'm just thinking about, like, all the Omaha, the points, and the come over here, move over here. Like,
I don't need you.
I've had friends that ask, is that necessary?
You.
Is that all necessary?
He is like a coach on the field of play.
Motioning me to my spot. I don't need you. I know how to get lined up.
Is it all necessary, RG3? That's what I'm asking you as a QB, right?
No, it's not. Okay, I'm telling you, I know guys, veterans, I'll leave them unnamed, that are high-profile QBs that do that for the camera. And that's okay, right? The Omahas and everything. Peyton's got Omaha Productions. He's wearing Omaha hats at the College World Series for baseball. It all works at the end of the day. It's all marketing. But there's a lot of that's just not really necessary, to the point where I know there was quarterbacks who never had to point out the mic, who always point out the mic at the line of scrimmage, and sometimes they were dead wrong.
Hey,
they do it for the cameras to make it look like they're doing
more. Hey, RG. Hey, wait, look, before I let you go, big dog, 53's the mic. 18's the Sam. He's replaceable. He never moved. He's still in the same damn spot.
All right.
See, RG3, if you would have done that, you'd still be starting in the NFL. Why didn't you make a big deal about
where the mic is?
You got to make a big deal about it. Come on.
Man, I got to play the game. Hey, got to play the game within the game. You live and you learn. So now I'm playing it with you guys.
There you go.
Hey, I've had a fool for 17 years at ESPN. You're on your way.
Robert Griffin III, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, brother.
Thanks, RG3, as always.
That's great.
Funny, right?
That's great. That's great. Yeah, no, I hear you.
Any walk of life, you could do one of two things. I resent the game. I'm not going to play it and hurt yourself. Or you could be like, you know what? They want me to play this game a little bit.
But you know what, though, coach? It's not hurting yourself. It's just like he said, I didn't text him and tell him to say these things.
Right.
Or call him in the restroom and say, hey, this is what I'm going to say. When you play the game on the field and you've been in those meeting rooms, you know what it is. I've watched Rick Meyer run our meeting room. But when he stepped on the field, different player. Yeah. I've watched Vinny Testaverde, Brad Johnson, run our meeting room when they stepped on the field. Guess what? Very productive to a whole other level.
In the end, it depends on your success. If you're completing your passes, doing what you want to do, then all that stuff looks real good. And if you're not, then it doesn't.
It's not hating on Peyton or anything like that. Great for him. Yeah. I love Peyton. But let's keep it 100. Let's stop always putting the yeast on it and making it seem
like I like keeping it 90. You got to give yourself some wiggle room, Key. Let's keep it 90.
We need to do a segment
for
the players that Key and I have known that do it in practice, in the locker rooms, in the film sessions, and then they get out on the game and you're like,
Some guys are more animated at doing it like RG said. Mm-hmm. Some guys do it quietly. They sit there and they say, hey, redirect that, or they go opposite at the line of scrimmage. You could just say opposite the line of scrimmage, which essentially means you're probably going the other way unless it's a dummy call. But some people are more animated. They want to bark it out.
Are there any quarterbacks who did that and knew they were doing it and were joking about it? Like some quarter, you know, like Omaha-ing it up and then afterwards laughing.
Even,
you see what I just did?
It's not even Omaha. You could change it to something.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Whatever name it is.
But does anyone do that with a wink, like, watch this. I'm doing this. They do
absolutely.
It for
absolutely. Yeah, because the defense, what happened is the defense all of a sudden, oh, my God, he's changing the play. And they get all razzled and they start changing their plays.
Doing it for the camera.
Absolutely.
And letting you know afterwards.
He just told you a lot of them do it for camera purposes.
But do they cop to it, to their teammates?
No, because you're not going to ask them. You just figure they doing it to do it.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. You know how much respect I'd have for a quarterback who's doing it up and then winking at his teammates like this is for the cameras.
Quarterback. That's like the quarterbacks back in the day who used to dribble the ball at a receiver's feet and then run down there and chase the receiver.
Point.
I really chaps your ass, doesn't it? That's happened to you because I see it in your
No, it's never happened to me. It never, ever.
Bledsoe tried
it once and it turned up bad for Drew, and he'll tell you that's my boy now, but it turned bad. So true story though, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. I'm a rookie, Dan Marino. We're at the Super Show in Atlanta, my rookie season. We're doing this whole deal in Atlanta. We're at the Atlanta Hawks game. I'm in the press box now. You know, he done had a few. You know, Dad had a few. And we're talking. You're a little rookie, you little punk. You know, and this, that, and the other. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? He said, if you were on my team and you wrote a book, oh, God. I said, man, you would do nothing to me. So we had a conversation. And I said, by the way, what makes you run down there, Dan? Because Dan was famous for it. You know, run down there and point the receivers. Yeah. I said, if you'd have did that to me, man, I'd have broke every finger in your hand. You know, but it was just, that's how I don't do that. Because when you dribble the ball at my feet, I'm not going, why would you throw the ball right
That's
here?
So bad for a quarterback, too, because the buck's got to stop with the quarterback. You can't be not taking responsibility.
That's wild, though,
but that was a big – it's not like that anymore, but it was a huge thing in the 80s and early 90s. It was big with those quarterbacks.
One wideout says he's top three.
Uh-oh.
He must mean on his own team. I mean, he's got to mean that, right? I mean, there's confidence, and then there's delusion.
So pretty.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Yeah, it's a nice day so far. There's confidence, and then it can cross over into kind of delusional thinking. I bring that up because Chase Claypool of the Steelers, Steelers wide receiver on I Am Athlete podcast, give it up to Brandon Marshall. He gets a lot of this stuff on being, well, listen to what Chase Claypool has to say about the top three, being a top three wide receiver, and he means in the NFL. Listen to this.
I know for a fact I am not like the rest of the guys in the NFL.
Talk. Yeah.
I know I'm a top five receiver. Yeah. I know I'm a top three receiver.
Yeah.
Keep going. When I'm working, I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm a dog. Like,
Keep going.
I wonder, was that unleaded or supreme gas? Because they was gassing him up for sure. I mean, top three, five. I mean, I hate to break it to him. He got a long ways to go before he cracks that top five, top three lineup. It's a long climb, man. It's like these skyscrapers in New York City. Right now, he's on the street level, okay? To get to the top, he's got a long ways to go. Good to have the confidence. I don't want to poo-poo his confidence or anything like that, but he first got to stay consistent in Pittsburgh before he could start talking that way.
Yeah, are we talking about the same Chase Claypool that last year during a pivotal game for the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't hand the ball off, like had a lot of issues like on the line of scrimmage? Like, and I love the confidence.
I think he's a nice receiver.
He's a good receiver. I understand that. But like, I also am a firm believer, let your play on the field dictate what people are saying about you. Like, if your play isn't at that level where people are saying you're top five, it's one thing to think you're top five. It's another thing to say it out loud and allow people to criticize.
Jay, he did catch two touchdowns last year.
He had a hell of a 2020 rookie campaign. He kind of slipped slightly, but could the quarterback play? He's been consistent with his numbers. He's yet to crack the 1,000-yard mark in the NFL with 17 games. If you can't hit a G with 17, I know, and no matter how much they throw.
Two touchdowns, 800-something yards.
But the touchdown part of it, top three receiver, I get it. I'm not even talking about from a statistical standpoint. I'm just talking about from
his eyeball,
his play, who he is. I don't think any defensive coordinator is going into the game saying, we got to stop Chase Claypool. He's their main focus and target.
And isn't that the bottom line? If you're a top three receiver, they're game planning for it.
He's not top three because he's not he's not better than Devontae, DeAndre Hopkins, or Tyreek Hill. And I don't even put Tyreek in a receiver category because he's not better. I'm not even going to get there.
He's not even better than Jamar Chase.
He's not better than Cooper Kupp. He's not better than Amari Cooper.
Odell Beckham Jr.
He's not better than – it's so many receivers that I could rattle off. And I get the confidence. I get it. You're on a podcast, and I get it. I understand it. But he might want to slow that down a little bit.
Let's play kickoff for Claypool. This is what I think we should do here. Key, you rank your best wide receiver, right? Number one, two, start with number one. We'll do one per day until the NFL season. So there are about, give or take, 70-ish Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max shows between now and an opening day kickoff, right? So here's the question. Will you get to kickoff first or Claypool first if you start ticking them off from one? So you start with one. Let's just say it's who's the best receiver in football? Devontae Adams, let's just say. And then two. And then the next day. And then three. Will we get to kickoff first or Claypool first? Who's today's wide receiver if you start at one?
I think we will get to Claypool, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we'll get to
Claypool before kickoff.
I think we'll get to Claypool.
We have a little vacation time coming up.
I think we'll get to Claypool before kickoff.
I can name three wide receivers in his own division that Key just rattled off in his own division. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Amari Cooper. All in his own division, all better than Chase Claypool.
I understand
we're
that.
We're not even out of division yet.
But I think when you say 70, I think we can get to him before kickoff.
The caveat is only days that all three of us are working for the summer.
That's a curveball.
So vacation doesn't count.
Yeah, like if
so, it's really
all
45
three of us
days.
Have to be together. Yeah, something
okay,
like that.
We need to, so it's not just when Key's here. You all three have
all
to
three,
be here.
Yes,
we're not getting there.
No, I don't think we're gonna get there. But let's start off. Let's start off right now.
I already got the calendar of days off. So was
Claypool even a top three receiver on the Steelers last year?
Deontay
Johnson.
Johnson, Washington.
Juju was
James
there.
Washington.
James Washington. Chase Claypool. I don't know.
He's probably
their top guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably their top guy.
I mean, what if you're a number one receiver, it doesn't work exactly like this, but there are 32 teams in the NFL. If you're a number one caliber-ish receiver, then you should be top 30-ish.
So here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'll say to just – look, my number one guy, so we start this off right?
Yeah.
Is Devontae Adams.
Devontae.
Okay,
one.
So number one.
All right, fine. So that's – we got that out of the way. Devontae Adams is one, in terms of one,
if you want to call it one. I don't like to say one, but I'll say one. He's not better than any one receiver on 31 other teams in the National Football League.
Clay.
He's not better than – that. That's the top dude.
So he ain't going to be in the top 32. And there are some teams, like Evan just said, T. Higgins might be the second best receiver on the team, and the team got two better. NFL kickoff weekend is the hot ticket. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. So we're playing kickoff for Claypool, and we're at one right now, and that's Devontae Adams. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. If Kyrie leaves the Nets, does it mean that KD is driving the bus right out of town, too?
Jeez.
That's next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We're not going to ever give him the respect, I mean, that he probably deserves. And that's just the way it is. And like I say, the game hasn't changed. Kobe said it. LeBron said it. And so we're going to hold him to the same high standard.
Whether he won a championship or not with the Warriors, how he did it, he drove the bus. He talks about driving a bus, right? Like, maybe it wasn't his bus, but he took the keys, and he drove it. And he was the best player on that team.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by the great Tim Legler. Legs. There he is.
What's happening, guys?
What's up, Legs?
You tell us.
What's up, boys?
Legs, what are the chances Kyrie Irving plays somewhere other than Brooklyn next season, do you think?
Oh, man, I wouldn't say it's more likely than not. I think he's probably in the midst right now of trying to get a little more money out of the Brooklyn Nets, and he wants that max money. And I know that that's a huge risk on the part of the Brooklyn Nets. And I think that's really what this is. It's a leverage play, and I think at the end of the day, he'll be in Brooklyn at least at the start of the year. I don't know how that's going to go. When we all know Kyrie Irving is very unpredictable. So we'll see once the season gets going and what that looks like. But I think at the start of the year, it's most likely he's going to be in Brooklyn.
Legs, if you're Sean Marks, would you sign Kyrie for the deal points he wants?
I wouldn't give him max money, Jay, if that's what you're asking. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. You realize that Kyrie Irving, in the 5 years, five postseasons since the championship year, or really since he left Cleveland, he's played in as many playoff games in the last 5 years as he did the one season that they won a championship in Cleveland. And part of it's been injuries. Part of it's been, he's whatever reason, he's been on teams that just weren't good enough to do it. So you look at him, I think it's more than just paying guys max money based on their talent. It's got to be more than that when a guy's been around for quite a while, as Kyrie has. He's not, you know, a puppy anymore. He's been in the league a long time. He's made his imprint. You know what he is as a talent. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be about dependability, reliability, leadership, the ability to make sure you're at your best when we need you to be at your best. Like, all of those things should matter also when you're talking about these max deals. I understand it's not my money to pay, and most of these teams cut those checks because it's very difficult to acquire the talent in the first place. And the last thing you want to do is see that guy end up thriving somewhere else potentially. Once you have him in-house, it's much harder to get him than it is to re-sign him, because you can just throw money at a guy and get him to stay. So I understand what goes into this, and that's why most of these guys get the money despite what the recent history has been with their health and dependability and just success. But if it were me, I'd have a very difficult time giving that money. I'd have a hard time sleeping at night if I'm Sean Marks, because I don't think that's going to go very well.
Coach, I want you to follow me here closely, right? So does Kyrie Irving have a better chance of winning another title? Forget all the other stuff, just basketball, with Kevin Durant or LeBron James in L.A.?
Well, man, that's a tough one. If he went to the Lakers, let's just say hypothetically, he went to the Lakers now, I think he'd have a better chance to win one with LeBron James. Listen, the Lakers, I think if you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James healthy, and you pair up a Kyrie Irving with that group, I think that's a team now. You're going to have to rework the rest of that roster, obviously, but I think that's a team that can win a championship. I'm not sure with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving alone with what the rest of that Nets roster is going to look like, and you know, some of the recent history that they both have had with injuries and being available when you need them to be, probably with LeBron James. But I'm not sure, really, honestly, Key, it would happen in either place.
Yeah, I was asking you, Legs, like, you know, if you're Kyrie Irving, so the things people say about KD is that he only won because he played with Steph and the Golden State Warriors, right? And you plugged him into a 73-win team the year prior. People say about Kyrie, well, you won because LeBron James carried. That's why I don't see that being something realistic where Kyrie is now going to go back. Like, these two guys are trying to cement their legacies together. And even though it seems chaotic, doesn't it feel to you like they're intertwined, like they're locked? Even with KD not coming out and saying anything about all the stuff that's happened over the last several years with Kyrie in a Brooklyn Nets uniform, you haven't heard KD clap back one time in the media about any of it.
I do agree with you on that one. It almost seems like, Jay, this is their last bit of unfinished business, really, as players. To do this together in a different way, creating a winning team, a championship team in an organization that hasn't done it, to go there, you're not going to be joining an elite team already in place that had already won the way Kevin Durant did. Kyrie Irving, you know, won one. He was obviously critical, biggest shot in franchise history. We all know about that and how good he was during that time in Cleveland, but he was also living in the shadow of somebody else. Now, is he living in the shadow here, somebody else as well? Yes, but it's a different situation because Kevin Durant hasn't been a guy that's taken a team to a title, you know, where he had to create something from scratch. So the two of them, it almost feels like this has to be their destiny to do it in Brooklyn together. That's what you came about. That's what you came together for in the first place. So now go get it done. But it just seems like it's always going to be something that's going to derail it. And the Eastern Conference is not going to be a joke. It's not going to be easy for them to pull it off.
Just feels like to me, Kyrie is not done. Like I think he has not won his last championship. It just feels that way to me. He's too young. He's too good. Got too much road ahead of him. And then, you know, as Legs said, KD, man, just like if LeBron and AD stay healthy, if KD stays healthy, the great Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Legs.
All right, Legs.
All right, Legger.
You got it. All right.
Much more on this and what it means for KD. Next, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.